From KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. A state judge ruled last week that school funding for this year that the legislature passed last year is valid. Juneau Superior Court Judge Daniel Shalley ruled that Governor Mike Dunleavy and the Commissioners of Education and Administration, quote, violated their duty to faithfully execute the law, end quote, by not executing the appropriation. The administration has agreed to send out school funding payments until the case is resolved, but it argued that the appropriation passed more than a year before this budget year started was invalid. Shalley issued an injunction mandating that the governor and the commissioners disperse the funds. Attorney General Kevin Clarkson says he'll appeal the ruling. In a statement, Clarkson said the decision, quote, upends the appropriations process as we know it and could lead to one legislature and governor setting the budget 5, 6, or more years in advance, end quote. Legislators have said that's unlikely, since they could always change appropriations passed in the previous year. They chose not to do that this year. Dunleavy originally proposed cutting school funding by nearly a quarter before backing away from the cut. He's scheduled to propose the next state budget by December 15th. Some are taking note that the state has suffered recent blows in lawsuits driven by opinions issued by Alaska Attorney General Kevin Clarkson. Asked about the high-profile cases dealing with education and unions, Department of Law spokeswoman Maria Barr says Clarkson notes that the Superior Court won't be the final word in these matters. Senator Bill Willikowski, an Anchorage Democrat, called Clarkson an activist attorney general. Mariners in distress are without a decades-old means of contacting the Coast Guard in much of coastal Alaska. The Federal Search and Rescue Agency says its VHF signal is down, making communication on Channel 16 unreliable. As KSTK's June Leffler reports, the issue had been going on all summer, and there's no solution in sight.
As Sitka fishermen go, Matt Donahoe is somewhat of a veteran. This summer, he was trolling for salmon when he heard a distress call over his VHF radio.
A boat called Mayday, but it was on Channel 16, and I expected the Coast Guard to respond, and they didn't.
It turns out it wasn't too serious. The skipper had broken down and was drifting. Donahoe continued to try and reach the Coast Guard over his radio as well, with little luck. He was relieved that nobody's lives were at risk that day.
But there's a problem with the infrastructure, and it needs to be addressed before somebody dies.
His story isn't unique. In fact, fishermen across coastal Alaska have been reporting similar problems. The Coast Guard first publicly acknowledged the problem last month, but it began broadcasting automated notices this summer to mariners, guys like Joe Donahue, who troll around Sitka.
I wrote down where the outages were, and it was from Yakutat all the way down to Cape Edgecombe. And I had a bunch of friends that were just finishing up with feigning and were getting ready to go longlining. And I'm just thinking to myself, boy, I hope they get that fixed.
It hasn't been fixed. At least 8 Coast Guard towers are down in Alaska. The outages are affecting Prince William Sound all the way down to Sitka and other southeast communities. Some of these repeaters have been completely down since June. Coast Guard Lieutenant Scott McCann says repairing these remote towers isn't a simple task.
And in most cases, these towers are only accessible by helicopter. And then when that's the case, the helicopter can only fly when the weather is conducive to flying up to the top of a mountain and dropping off personnel and parts.
Yeah, but you guys are the Coast Guard. Like, that's what you all do.
True. The Coast Guard does have a reputation for flying in nasty weather, but these towers' maintenance contracts are with other agencies, so they have different flight standards, and you want them to be safe when they go out there.
That contractor is LynxNet, LLC, a Virginia-based subsidiary of NANA, the regional native corporation based in Kotzebue. Neither the company nor the native corporation responded to requests for comment. But if inclement weather held up the contractor in the summer, the dark and frigid winter certainly won't help. In the meantime, the Coast Guard has been advising mariners to carry satellite phones and high-frequency radios. Those are all much more expensive. The industry wants assurances if they need the Coast Guard that they can use the radio that's found on every deck of every boat in the fleet.
VHF radios, for decades, have been the primary go-to source get a hold of the Coast Guard in an emergency.
Jerry Dugan is the director of the Alaska Marine Education Safety Association in Sitka.
And that's what we've taught everybody in our classes for decades. You know, so what you're saying, what they're saying is, oh yeah, well, you're going to have these other things instead. And that's unacceptable.
The Coast Guard also recommends mariners have working EPIRBs. Those are emergency position indicating radio beacons. But Dugan says that's a last resort option.
Fishermen don't want to hit the panic button when you don't really have to, which means that it's going to delay a problem.
EPIRBs send a continuous radio signal, sending the alarm to search and rescue units the exact location of the vessel in distress. But VHF radios allow mariners to check in with the Coast Guard before a situation gets to that point.
Coast Guard's always saying, you know, if you have a problem, let us know, even if it's not an emergency yet, so we know, so we can keep an eye on you.
The Coast Guard's Lieutenant Scott McCann urges mariners to be patient. He says there will be a fix, eventually.
These towers are here to stay. VHF is here to stay.
Fishermen and industry groups have been in contact with U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski's office to try and speed up the process. Murkowski's office released a short statement saying it's aware of the issues. With additional reporting from Catherine Rose in Sitka, I'm June Loeffler in Wrangell.
Huna Totem Corporation brought a Las Vegas rock and roll show to Juneau last month, and Alaska left quite an impression on one of the performers. Rock and country singer Johnny Solinger says he's got some unfinished charity work to do up here. He says he wants to auction off a guitar he and other rock stars have signed to help Alaska veterans. I talked with Solinger, who lives just outside of Houston, Texas, on Friday. What's your connection to Alaska?
Oh, man, Alaska. Well, I was there for the first time, actually in October. I was there for a show called Raiding the Rock Vault, which is a Vegas show that a corporation brought in there for us to entertain.
And I understand you've been thinking about making some kind of significant donation to veterans.
Well, here's the deal. That I've got eight of these things that I had signed because the show is out of the Hard Rock Casino in Vegas there. And the Hard Rock's closed. It's, at the end of this year, it's closing down. And so when I found out about that, I was like, wow. So when I was there, I was able to purchase, I don't know, half a dozen, eight of these things. With the intention of using them during the holidays. One of those guitars is going to Alaska. I had such a good time there. Texas boy, none of these guys had ever been to Alaska. And man, I've been all over the world. I've been to Red China. I've been to Russia, but not Alaska. Well, I fixed that. And I want to go back again and again and again. I went up on the glacier. I went to Alaska Brewing. I went to Alaska Kush. And with all the hoopla there, I never got to auction it off. So since I didn't get to leave anything there in Alaska because I thought the guitar would remain there, I decided since Veterans Day was coming that I could donate, you know, use this guitar to benefit the veterans of Alaska, because out of all of the sponsors for that event, they were nowhere to be seen on the list. I mean, you had food shelters and a lot of great causes. I just didn't see veterans on there.
So it sounds like you've done something like this before. Do you have a rough guess for what the approximate value of something like this is?
Heck no. I mean, somebody, it's what they'll pay for it. I mean, at the Rock Vault, they sell these things, and it'll be whoever played that night, you know, the cast will sign it. You know, it's thousands of dollars. So, but it's not crazy money. I mean, unless you just love Def Leppard, which a lot of people do. Phil Soussan's on this guitar. Now, he played for Ozzy Osbourne. So I guess, and I'm from Skid Row, Vivian Campbell from Def Leppard, who I just played with, is on this guitar, and Todd Kearns, who played with me, and Rock Vault is in this guitar from Slash Band. So yeah, there's some cool heavy hitters on here. You know, I'll have a picture of it up, and we'll run it.
I mean, as far as this particular guitar in Alaska and this connection, if for our audience, if they want to see what happens with it, I know the details aren't settled, but how will you be getting the word out?
Oh, I'll post it. Yeah, you can follow. Yeah, you can follow all along what's going to happen. Yeah, you'll see the select. You'll see the exact guitar that's going to go up. I'm trying to figure out how to do a live auction. In order to, I don't want just anybody to get these guitars. I want it to stay in Alaska. This guitar, I want it to be in Alaska because Rock Vault was there. I want the name Rock Vault to be attached to this guitar. I want my name and my grandfather's name, who served in World War II. His name is Willard J. Scrappy Smith. You know, there's reasons I'm doing this.
Okay, great. Anything else you want to add I didn't ask about?
You know, I know that Rock Vault wants to come back. It was a very successful event. And, you know, I saw a lot of the locals. And, you know, there was no music school there. I asked about it. Like, you know, I have School of Rocks all around me. I mean, I got kids that got bad skills all around. So, you know, I was wondering about music education there in Juneau. And just, you know, just the place is so beautiful. You got eagles flocking around like crows here. You got whales down there where we catch catfish. I mean, it was just a different world for me, brother. And I want to go back. as a solo artist and with Rock Vault.
Well, cool. Thanks for taking the time and sharing with us.
Thanks.
Solinger is spending part of his Veterans Day playing a concert with free admission for vets in Conroe, Texas, where he lives. That's it for the KTOO News Update for Monday, November 11th, 2019, Veterans Day. I'm Jeremy Shea. Thanks for listening.